Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Miller to his right out of the gun, and Miller drops it. The Patriots recover.
They got it.
Hightower was there along with Kyle Van Noy. And Lamar Miller and Deshaun Watson never completed the exchange. Terrible. It's Dante Hightower back among the active ranks on the recovery.
Terrible job by Deshaun Watson. Real deliberate on the fake. He couldn't decide whether to give it to Miller or keep it. And that's a good job by the backside end. So that's Van Noy he's staring at. He rides him all the way down inside. And he can't make the decision whether to keep it or give it. That's on the quarterback.
First play of the game for Houston. First play of the season. Month and a half of training camp. All spring. 6 months to get ready for one game and the first play. And without being pressured, without being touched, you put it on the ground and hand it to the other team. That's how we started off the 2018 Patriots season.
Brilliant.
Which is a jumping off point to my take, which is, again, I think the narrative coming out of that game in some quarters was,
oh, I guess the drama doesn't matter. And I guess they don't need off-season camp. See, they're just fine. Right? That is it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I was listening to our post-game show last night. I even heard Murray say something like that. Well, Felger, how about those OTAs? I guess Brady doesn't need those OTAs. Blah!
The OTAs were useless.
So you're using that game to come to that conclusion? I know you believe that beforehand, but you're using that game as some sort of proof that those other things aren't a factor?
Yeah, Felga, all I know is 1-0.
The Globe, headline, despite drama, nothing has changed. That's the headline to Gasper's column. The Athletic, after offseason mired in drama, Patriots provided reminder that winning is their specialty. Karen Garijan in the Herald wrote, so much for rust. So much for skipping offseason workouts and having that be a detriment.
Don't you feel stupid?
So, I reject that narrative. I reject that storyline. Can I wait to see the team get tested first before I say that the offseason drama hasn't been a factor or the lack of offseason work from Brady and Gronkowski hasn't been a factor? Can I wait to see them be tested? Because yesterday was not a test. Yesterday, a team came in that couldn't even get a playoff, couldn't even hand the ball off once before delivering you 7 points. Okay? They couldn't even get 2 minutes into the game before sharting in their pants. Can I wait to see you play a team whose quarterback can hit the broadside of a barn? Deshaun Watson yesterday was abysmal.
Horrid.
He was atrocious.
I particularly like the throw on 4th and 5 to the tight end, Ryan Griffin, in the end zone, the one that was 10 feet behind him and 5 feet above his head.
So I know there's a lot of bad teams, a lot of bad coaches, a lot of bad quarterbacks, and you're going to run into that, which is why I, along with everyone else, had you at 12 wins, give or take, right? Of all the most vicious of Patriots bashers, have you heard anyone say that they're going to win less than 11 games?
Maybe one person at 10-6, but maybe a caller, but that was it.
Yeah.
So no one had you losing a game like yesterday. Where, I mean, and not that I predicted it. That's not what I'm saying. If Houston had come in here and played well, maybe we're having a different conversation. But no, there's no one out there who felt that you were in trouble against a team that was going to come here, fumble on the first play, and then get atrocious quarterback play for 60 minutes. You're going to win those games. You're going to continue to win those games. I don't care if Tom Brady never practices again. And I don't care if the offseason drama goes to the point where Rob Gronkowski challenges Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick to a duel with pistols. You are still going to beat teams who play like Houston did yesterday, no one said you were going to ever lose those games. Yesterday proves nothing. It proves nothing. I still believe, as much as I ever did, that Brady missing the offseason will catch up at some point in some manner. And that their off-field issues are not done, meaning they still can factor. But I think the bigger thing is the offseason and how Brady handled it and how Gronkowski handled it. I still think that's going to catch up to him. And it's going to take a hell of a lot more than one win over a horrible court, at least a horrible day for the quarterback on a team that wasn't ready. Houston wasn't ready to go for me to change my mind. I will change my mind if the facts demand it. But the yesterday does not count. Yesterday does not. That showed me nothing.
Well, when will the facts demand it?
Let me see them when they're tested. How's that?
Do you look at next week as a test?
So let's see.
It should be a little bit.
I mean, let's see. I need to know how Jacksonville plays. You know, I'm not even going to say. I mean, you can play a good team that just has a horrible day. That's not a test. You can play a mediocre team that has a great day. Well, that's more of a test. If the league is so bad that you can't find one team or one quarterback or one coach to hold their water and give you a day, then I will say a test is going 3-4 straight weeks of really good football and everyone's on, you know, firing on the cylinders, and now we're in November and you've withstood a big chunk of the schedule, and, you know, I mean, I'll give it to you. I'm not going to withhold what you want from me all season.
There's a lot of goalposts moving as well.
I'm fair.
Like.
No. I'm not going to move the goalposts. I'm fair. I'm nothing if not fair. I'm firm but fair, Murray, to steal your line. Okay? So, I mean, eventually you are tested, whether it's a single game, a series of games, a portion of the schedule, or just the breadth of the schedule. I'll give it to you. If it happens, I'll give it to you. I'm not giving you yesterday, would you please?
No,
yesterday proves nothing. I will give you this. Brady and Gronkowski don't need to practice together in April to be good. Those two can roll out of bed and do what they've done. No problem. Fine. Fair enough. Your quarterback not going to passing camps is bad for business, and will catch up. I'm not changing my mind on that.
I'm still more interested in the ramifications of the Palace Queue. Like, to me, that's the stuff that will show up. It's the dysfunction or the resentment that's in there if things start to go bad, because that'll lead to finger pointing. And they didn't get it. Deshaun Watson was absolutely putrid in that game yesterday. Putrid.
Oh, like, no question.
Dumpster stink.
I thought there would be a little bit of rust there, but he looked rattled. Mentally and physically. Okay. Like,
he was
not
brutal.
Right yet.
He was brutal. He didn't know where to go with the ball, and when he did throw it, it was off target. I told you, they'd have been better off with Eddie Etling playing quarterback yesterday than Deshaun Watson. That was and the other thing is, like, look, I was impressed. I shouldn't say impressed. Encouraged by the fact that they actually let guys go after the quarterback. Okay? They actually let some guys go there. And that they were able to create some pressure. And I thought they mixed up some of that well, because sometimes it looked like they were bringing four and more than four, and they weren't. Just because of the way they were moving guys around. So that, I like seeing that too. But Houston has one guy to cover. One.
But look, I'm not going to take away from the fact that I thought they played well. And there were some encouraging signs. The defense was encouraging. And Philip Dorsett on offense, encouraging. And Brady and Gronkowski, you know, okay, don't miss it. I'm not taking those things away. I'm just, if you're going to draw a line and say yesterday is proof that the offseason didn't matter, wrong. Sorry, Murray. I said it to the radio as I was listening. I was driving into TV yesterday. I heard you say it on the postgame. Oh, the Felger, the OTAs. I said, sorry, Murray. Nope. Not giving you that one. Need to see more than that. I've been seeing more.
Yeah, but with the rust that you've described, then he wouldn't have been able to already build what looks like a rapport with Philip Dorsett. Granted, small sample size, one game.
Do you think Brady showed a little rust yesterday?
A little. Yeah, it wasn't his best game. I give him a B. It was a B game for him.
I mean, he was good. It wasn't great. I don't know. He had Burkhead wide open for a touchdown on that first or second series and overshot him. I don't know.
What you're saying, look, even Brady after the game did say, we have things to work on here, so that does speak to what you're saying. Like, they're not where they need to be right now.
I'm just
now.
Telling you, ultimately, all my ranting and raving about the offseason may have proven to be totally ridiculous and totally wrong. Yesterday doesn't get me there, though. Yesterday does not even close. Not even close, Murray, to getting me there. Not even close. Can I please get through a game where the team doesn't come in and hand you the ball in the first play of the game? Let's just start with that. Let's start with that, where we get to a game, and on the first snap, without being touched, with barely being looked at, they put the ball on the ground and hand you the football inside the 20-yard line. And then you go nowhere and just chuck it up to Gronk in double coverage and he scores. Like that, the first 4 minutes, you did nothing other than chuck it up to Gronk in double coverage because you went three and out on your first possession.
Then, three straight runs, by the way, too. Which
for you, you go three and out on offense.
Establish the run.
Then I think when you got the ball back, you actually went backwards.
Yeah, they did. They took a 5 yard false start. And it was 3rd and 12. That's when he went to Gronk.
Yeah, right. It was 3rd and 12. Exactly. So 3 minutes in, you've done nothing except accept the ball that they handed you on the first snap of the game and then chuck it up to Gronkowski in double coverage.
Oh, no, no. And in football, that's an expression, putting the ball on the ground. But in this case, they actually did just put the ball on the ground.
They just placed it there for you.
Yeah, they pretty much. They just kind of dropped it right there for you to jump on.
So now you're up 7-0. You're off and running. You're playing from ahead the entire game. Deshaun Watson clearly not ready to go. And again, not that I could predict that. I didn't know. I didn't know how Watson was going to look. I don't think any of us did. There was a big wild card, right? He looked so dangerous in his games early last season, had a full year to recover, but you didn't really know. Clearly not ready. Clearly not ready.
Oh, no, no. He's got a ways to go yet. And that's not just a 1 week thing. That's going to take a while.
So anyway, that was my opening take. I thought I'd give it to you again at 5 o'clock in case you missed it at 2, because you can't get enough of it, really.
How nice of you.
Yeah, here's a few words from our sponsors, then to your thoughts.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady takes the snap. He throws it left for Gronk. He makes the catch over two defenders and steps across the pylon for a touchdown. Patriots!
What'd I say? Where's your tight end at? How many times have we seen this? Not only against the Texans prior, but against other teams. You're covered. It's double coverage, yet Brady probably plants the back foot and he sticks it to the back shoulder of the tight end. That looks pretty darn good to me. The health, the ability of him to get downfield and twist for a guy of that size.
How is it that you and Tom Brady has this cohesiveness between each other, and especially the first touchdown? He like threw, and there was two guys on you at that time as well.
It's a lot of practice, no doubt. A lot of practice. And it's never letting up. It's a lot of consistency out there on the practice field, doing it every week, doing it in the off season, doing it in camp, doing it whenever. So you can't just get on a page like that just from the get-go. I mean, you got to put work in. You got to put time in. And that's what we do.
You do? They put the work in and the time in? So which is it? You got to pick, Patriots fans. You got to pick, Murray. Either it's important that they put the time in, or they don't need to put the time in. So, which is it?
No, it's important to put the time in for, like, you know, the practices that matter, not the OTAs, which are mostly useless.
So, it's important for Brady and Gronkowski to work together just from July 15th on or whatever, or July 25th on, whatever training camp starts?
Yeah, when camp starts, that's when it's real.
Okay, so, but Gronkowski was going on there about all the work they put in the offseason. I mean, he said, in the offseason.
Yeah, that's just a template he's basically reading.
No, they rented out some gymnasium in Foxborough that was down the street.
So it is important for Brady to work with his guys in the offseason. Or not. You guys got to pick it.
It was Gronk, Edelman, and Amendola that worked out privately in Foxborough, one of these recreation parks.
Brady was working with Amendola this offseason?
Yeah, before he signed with Miami.
Before he signed with Miami?
Yeah.
Not after?
I don't think it was after, but I know for a fact it was before.
Why are we just hearing about this now?
I've been saying this off and on. You guys don't pay attention to me.
That part might be true, actually.
But again, it's like, so if Gronkowski and Brady are really working it hard in the offseason, and you're celebrating it, then that, I don't get it. I thought you said the offseason stuff doesn't matter. I'm confused. You have to pick it, Patriots toady. You've got to pick it. Either they were working in the offseason, it's important to do so, or it's not important. It doesn't matter. You got to pick one. You can't have both.
I just think you've over-dramatized this take.
No, really?
Yeah, it's just you make it sound like they've done nothing in the preseason and in the offseason at all, which is not true.
No, Brady did do stuff this offseason.
Yeah, I know. He was on a boat in Monaco.
No, he was riding a camel in Dubai. He went to Costa Rica and he had s'mores.
Oh, yeah.
He
was popping Skittles down there, for crying out loud.
He also rode camels.
He said that one.
Yeah. Murray. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you just say that?
Yes, I did.
I'm sorry. My fault. I wasn't listening because I admit I wasn't listening because I did hear your previous statement. I am enjoying this take too much to give it up after one game. There's just no way. I'm not going to waste an entire offseason of ripping Brady for not working out and then give it up after one game. Are you nuts? No way. I've had too much fun with it. And I do believe it. And I've tried to be consistent, unlike you frauds. And yes, I'm talking to all about you in Boston. 2 million of you, or however many. Call it 4 million. Standing in City Hall Plaza, chanting no days off, no days off, and touting the work ethic of the Patriots. And then they take the whole offseason off, and you all go, ah, well, it doesn't matter anyway. At least I'm not that. At least I'm trying to be consistent.
Yeah, he's talking to you. You, the guy driving home right now. You heard it.
I blame you. All right, so back to your phones and your
fool.
Thoughts. Christian in Foxborough. Go ahead, Christian.
Hey, what's up, guys? So I think the Falcons and Texans should hold joint practices next year and learn how to execute their first plays of the season.
It's unbelievable.
Also, that Gronk fumble, excuse me if anyone mentioned it, but it was his first fumble at home since 2012.
At home.
Like, how does that matter?
Oh, no, I was just saying, you guys, someone mentioned he fumbled, you know, like last year or something, but it was his first fumble at home since 2012, so I just want to bring this up.
Got it.
But real quick, so the fact that James Devlin had more catches than Chris Hogan, Cordell Patterson, and Riley McCarron, I mean, I really don't feel too good about that. For Philip Dorsett, if he was going to have his best game as a Patriot, yesterday was certainly the day for it. And real quick, I mean, on Chris Harper, Riley McCarron, like, can we get someone back there who can, like, field a punt and not take it off the freaking face? Like, Cordell Patterson, I know he's heavier on the receiving role this year, but, I mean, he's dynamic. Like, can we at least get someone back there who can at least catch a punt, please?
Okay, good job, Christian. Good call.
So Patterson's a guy, I mean, they had him back there in the preseason, right?
He's had only one punt return his entire career.
They had him back there in the preseason, though. What the hell are they doing that for?
I don't know. So that situation, you weren't looking for a return. You were looking for him to catch the football.
Right, he couldn't do it.
So that he
maybe they can put Isaiah Wynn back there.
Did he have the fair catch signal up? He did.
I don't remember, but I think it sounds right.
I think he called for the fair catch, and he couldn't even do that. So I'm not looking for a return there. I'm looking for a catch. Next time it's Pat Chung. This whole thing throwing to the running backs, and that's how they're going to move the ball. How'd you feel about that yesterday? They threw it to James White 9 times yesterday. Completed only 4. One was a touchdown. You know, that he made look much easier than it was. He juked that guy out of his jock and even really.
Well, there was miscommunication there, too, because Tyrann Mathieu was ripping the cornerback, too.
Yeah, that's right. They didn't go out and cover him. So, yeah, that's right.
So anyway, he was 4-4 to Devlin. But other than that last play, which really was a broken play, I don't know. I don't even count Devlin. Do you?
No, because I don't think that that's something you're going to rely on in a big spot.
I just don't. And is it ever really meant for him? Like, isn't he always the fourth option or something? James White, 4 catches on 9 targets. Like, that thing didn't really get going. The touchdown notwithstanding. Obviously, they scored on it. Connor in Canton has a thought on the Red Sox bullpen. Hi, Connor.
Hey, how's it going? Sorry to bring it back to the Sox. We got some Patriots callers. But I just wanted to say, I understand baseball is a different culture. I understand it's not October yet. But last night watching the game, I mean, I was livid. I don't know if you guys saw, but they did an interview in the bullpen. And all these guys with their bizarre haircuts are flipping seeds and cups, and they're doing funny dances. And then they get out there, and they're whipping balls in the dirt. They obviously got smacked around. I wonder, I'm making $25 an hour. These guys are making millions. They supposedly love the game. And like I said, I understand it's a different culture, but when you get on the mound, you got to compete. There's no one competing. We're fighting for playoff spots.
So, Connor, let me just stop you. Thank you for the call. If you missed it, was it Buster Olney in the bullpen?
Yeah, with Joe Kelly and that stupid character he plays.
Doing an interview with Joe Kelly, and he was bragging about his sunflower seed flicking, and all the guys were flicking sunflower seeds at him. And then, to the caller's point, they go out there and crap themselves. Should that aggravate you that they're playing grab ass out there and are so loosey when they suck?
No, I don't think they're necessarily related, because I've seen lots of bullpens be light and goofy, but when it comes time to pitch, they pitch. That's just my 2 cents. I don't know how you feel about it.
Yeah, no, it's baseball, so I don't draw a line.
I mean, I've seen lots of bullpens. In fact, I would argue that, generally speaking, that you want the bullpen to have some sort of camaraderie. That's usually a good sign that they pull for each other. The problem with these guys is they can't throw strikes under pressure. It happened Friday night. It happened again last night. None of them can throw strikes under pressure. So they crack.
Here's Brian in Springfield for Maz. Go ahead, Brian.
What's up, guys? One quick thing for Maz, too, on the Red Sox. How many starters do the Red Sox need in the playoffs, Maz?
Four.
Why?
Because typically to get proper rest, you're going to need four starters.
Okay. So you don't think Eduardo Rodriguez or Valdi is going to be going in the bullpen to get rid of one of your gutless bums? And
no, I do. Yeah, I think one of them is going to end up in the bullpen. My guess is it would be Valdi. But if Eduardo Rodriguez has more games like he had over the weekend, then it could be him too.
Yeah, okay. And the other thing real quick, I don't know who's brought it up, if anybody, but for the last 6 months, I watched your show, listened to it, and you've been ranting and raving about Jimmy GQ, and he goes out there and has a dud. Granted, it was against the Vikings defense. I'll give you that much.
Scheduled loss.
But what's that?
No, go ahead. It's all right.
No, no. What Maz is trying to say, that it was an impossible spot for him. There was no way they were going to win. He was up against too good of an opponent, and don't put that on Garoppolo. That's what he's saying, Brian.
I'm not putting it on Garoppolo, but three interceptions. You said he was the next JC in cleats. I mean you gotta cut him a break and say, oh, he's going against the Vikings defense.
So let me just stop you, Brian.
That's pretty much what I said, yeah. And I never said JC. I said he's the next Joe. Joe Montana is what I say. Reminds me a little bit of Joe. And so I was going to ask the caller whether he could name the Niners' first receiver.
What did you see yesterday, Maz, as you watched the game?
So the thing that struck me most about Kareem, he played a putrid game. I mean, he made a couple of good throws. It was a nice touchdown he threw to Dante Pettis, where he spun out of the pocket and, you know, rolling to his right, threw a ball to the back left corner of the end zone. It was a nice play. And there were some other good throws he had, most of them to the tight end, who looks like a pretty good player. But the most striking play to me was the pick six. He had pressure coming in his face. He just kind of flipped the ball out there, and he turned away from the throw. He didn't want to get hit. And there was a comment today, Murray, who was the defensive player for the Vikings, one of the Vikings defensive linemen, said that Jimmy Garoppolo looked scared. And you know what? On that play, he did. He did. The pick at the end of the game was horrid, too. He just chucked a floater down the middle of the field. But the pick six was worse. He had pressure coming, and he looked like Tony Eason, turtling away from the contact. If that happens, he'll suck.
Yeah, it's a shame. I know I enjoyed watching those three picks. He did have one good touchdown, too, to his credit. But, oh, you know, I know, scheduled loss, that Vikings defense, it's a real tough go against them, even though Nick Foles shredded that very defense in the NFC Championship game. That's Nick Foles to the tune of about 350 yards and three touchdowns.
Nick Foles also shredded the Patriots.
Well, they were garbage, and Malcolm Butler should have played in that game. Be that as it may.
Speaking of Butler, did you catch a look at him yesterday?
He had a pick, didn't he?
Yeah, Kenny still smoked him for a touchdown, too, but that's another story.
We'll do more of the league stuff tomorrow. Mike in Providence on Brady. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, what's going on? Now, Felger, earlier you said, if nothing, you're consistent and you're fair, correct?
Firm but fair.
Okay. Now, the year Brady was suspended for four games, I remember you, I listen every day, saying Brady doesn't need the time in the games. Brady's not going to miss a beat when he comes back. He was missing 4 weeks of practices, 4 weeks of real games, and you were so confident that it wasn't going to make a difference. He'd come back as strong as he ever was.
Yes, because I think the offseason's
OTAs, all of a sudden the OTAs are more important than real games.
They are. The offseason's more important than the practice time. The practice time is more important in the offseason than the regular season. Yep, that's right. When you get into the regular season, it's sometimes we'll see on Wednesday, and they don't practice but 1 or 2 days a week. It's just pretty much install, or guys nursing injuries, or what have you. The bulk of the install and getting on the same page occurs in the offseason. And this is evidenced by the fact, caller, that for the most part, any receiver the Pats have picked up midstream does nothing because they can't catch up, because it's already, all the work's already in. So that's where the bulk of it happens. That's where the timing happens. That's where the install happens. It's the off season, not the regular season. So nice try. You may try again at a different time.
He's been here. He's worked in the off season. What he didn't work in was the OTAs. And if they were as important as you say they are, Mike, then the head coach wouldn't have treated it at like summer camp. Let's all like have ourselves a little game. Well, let's turn it into the 1930s football. So let's have ourselves some hot dogs and whiskey, like the guys back in the day used to be in leather.
Stay firm, Felger. Yeah. Stay firm.
Oh my God, this is like
play some cornhole.
Child's play.
Let's play cornhole at Fenway, fellas.
So you think Bill wanted him to skip?
No, he would have preferred him there.
Okay, so then we're on the same page.
No, because
Bill wanted him there and he didn't show up.
But if Brady's not there, wouldn't he still run the camp the way that he wants to? Because he's Law and Order Bill, and it's always my way or the highway. No, instead, you guys want to play cornhole at Fenway? You want to have some? Want to see some old timey movies too with the guys with the leather helmets? Come on, let's have ourselves a time. I'm going to teach you fellas, you young millennials, about old timey football. Oh, I bet that'll capture your attention. Brady's the most important piece, and you know it.
Oh yeah, well, I didn't dispute that. I'm just saying
to the world at large,
and I'm saying you can't have passing camps without a quarterback. That's all.
Without a passer,
and if your star quarterback, your quarterback, your best passer.
Or a passee.
Just, this is something I believe, and I don't know if I'll ever change my mind on this. When your best passer won't attend a passing camp that the coach wants him to go to, it's bad news.
It's time to take a pass.
Here's Murray's update.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Junta.
Magenta?
Junta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady dropping back from the gun. A lot of time. Throws it down the right side for Grimes. Double coverage. Lays out! And somehow makes the catch initially. The ball came free at the end, but he caught it. It was knocked out of his hands when he was on the ground. And what another sensational play by Rob Gronkowski. Ball pinned against his helmet.
He slides
on the turf.
Nice. I can't believe Gronkowski caught that ball.
And how do you not go back and look at that? And on the replay, it looked like he caught it.
Yeah, but I mean, still, you gotta make them take another look at that. It's such a bang-bang quick play, and that's a great job by the deep guy to come up and signify that's a catch.
That's not my job, though, to call a timeout to make their job easier. What I'm trying to do is make sure that we go into halftime with a 14-6 lead. I mean, down 14-6. I'm not trying to say, call a timeout there. They rule it a catch. Now the Patriots have more time to put a play together. So whatever you're going to write, you're going to write. But, like, that's not my job to do that.
Then there was this, Maz.
This guy, unbelievable.
Bill O'Brien.
Boob. B-O-B, boob.
Can we stop with the Bill O'Brien stuff now, please? When Bedard comes in here tomorrow, he starts, blowing smoke up my skirt about Bill O'Brien. Can we please shut him down on this?
Oh, no, you're not going to have to worry about Bedard tomorrow. He's going to be taking his pants off for Trent O'Brien. Trent Brown. Good God, O'Brien. See, I got O'Brien on the brain. What a boob. I have never heard a coach say, with regard to, like, overturning a play and calling a timeout, not my job. Like, that sounds like something the electrician says when you ask him about plumbing. Not my job. Go ask the plumber.
It happens all the time. You see coaches call timeout to see if they'll wake up in the booth and review a play. Inside 2 minutes, you can't do it yourself. But if the opponent's running to the line and the league isn't on top of it, and they're not, and the league deserves criticism for not being quicker to the button there, because Tony Corrente, the ref, did say that they buzzed us to stop the play, but by that point, the Pats had already snapped the ball. But that happens. We've seen that a bunch. So if you're the opposing coach and you have three timeouts in your pocket, which Houston did, you stop the clock and give the league time to get off their ass and buzz the ref.
I don't think O'Brien knew the rule. And when I say the rule, I mean, had he called a timeout and they reversed the play, he'd have gotten his timeout back. So I know he said...
I don't know why he's so worried about timeouts. The Pats have the ball.
He shouldn't be.
The Pats have the ball. There's 40 seconds left, and Bill's got three... Bill O'Brien has three timeouts. You don't need the Fakakta timeout.
So his explanation was that he would ultimately give the Patriots more time to call the next play.
Oh, that's what Brady needs in the 2 minute.
Like, well, see, that's what I say. Is that they're at the 30-yard line with 40 seconds anyway. They get enough time.
Please.
That was not an issue. He whiffed. He had a chance to have the play reviewed and have it, have the ball go back 30 yards. He didn't take it.
So
I don't understand the logic there at all. He's so wrong. It's not even funny.
Bill O'Brien's supposed to be one of the good ones. He's supposed to be the ones that, we, meaning football fans in general, have hope in being a decent coach that, could just get it, halfway get it. He's one of the guys we have hope in. And he's just another clueless bum who gets into these spots and the game speeds up on him and he's lost.
And you know what? Had he coached a masterful game otherwise, I could at least say, okay, well...
His game plan sucked.
But the play calling was awful.
And it's all on him because he's the offensive play caller there.
Exactly. Like, I look at the interception that Watson threw in the end zone that Stephon Gilmore picked off. In that sequence, the Texans were moving the ball. They had some momentum. They had a second and three, and all of a sudden they chuck it down the field. Like, what are you doing? You're driving the ball down the Patriots' throats here. Keep going. Just keep doing what you're doing. You have a second and three. Keep making first downs. You'll be fine. Nope. They chuck it into the end zone and get picked. Then, after they give up the points at the end of the half, they come out on first down to start the second half because they should have had the hairpin turn, right? They should have had the final possession of the second quarter and the first or the third. So they got the first possession of the second half. The first play, a reverse to DeAndre Hopkins minus seven.
Well, but that's an improvement over their first play of the first half.
Welcome to second and 17 in a punt. Like, thank you very much. Game over. Oh, my God, was it awful. But it was just awful.
And if and the other times, he's just conservative and stupid. You're down 14 with 7 minutes to go on the fourth and punt. You're punting? Like, what the hell are you doing?
But he'll go for it on fourth and five.
Which made no sense because you would have been 21-9 at that point if you hit that field goal.
With 25 minutes left, plenty of time left, those points would have mattered.
Well, on that punt, he was playing the percentages.
Hi, they. So this guy.
Like, trust in his defense.
It's not my job to stop the clock. Oh, God. And then he gets so defensive in the postgame. So it's just another guy. Again, the game speeds up, and he's not ready for it. Today, he admitted that in hindsight, I should have stopped the clock. But yesterday, oh, was he bitchy about it.
109 left in the first half. Gronkowski made the catch.
Yeah.
It looked like he didn't.
Right.
We're not calling the timeout.
No. It's not my job to do that. And let me make it clear that I don't have challenges with under 2 minutes to go.
No kidding.
Okay, like so we're all clear on that.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, great. Yeah, I guess so, John.
You think I'm worth
it? I don't have any idea, John. I'll have to watch it on tape. That's not my job, though, to call a timeout to make their job easier. What I'm trying to do is make sure that we go into halftime with a 14-6 lead. I mean, you know, down 14-6. I'm not trying to say, call a timeout there. They rule it a catch. Now the Patriots have more time to put a play together. So whatever you're going to write, you're going to write. But, like, that's not my job to do that.
Why does every guy that come in here turn to an absolute bumbling fool?
Yeah. Babbling idiot. Yeah. I don't know. But you know what? You talk about that. That's not my job. That's yours. So you go ahead and do that. I'm just going to sit here and wait for the baseball reporters. It's 6 o'clock.
Just give me that last bit.
Could you go back to the Gronkowski catch? Were you disappointed they didn't review that play?
I have no idea, Mark. These are all questions, which I probably should have said to John in the beginning. These are questions for Al Riveron in the NFL, not for me. They're not questions for me. It's not my job, you know?
Why he keeps prattling on about that? No, it's your job to call timeout.
Right, but and then in the same breath, he says it's my job to ensure that we go in trailing 14-6. Oh, so that wouldn't have helped you? Like calling the timeout that wouldn't have helped you stay at 14-6. I get it. That's right. No, because you can't do the referee's job. Complete babble.
And the best part of that
is not my job.
So bad.
Who he's arguing with is the equivalent of football Santa Claus. It's
John McClain, Houston Chronicle.
He's covered the game for 40 years.
It's
he knows it more than Bill.
Maybe O'Brien, so.
Not Bill Belichick.
And he's no flamethrower. He's like...
No, he's a sweet man. He's sweet and accommodating. He's not a ball buster.
I was going to go Ron Hobson on you.
Good one. Yeah, Hobby.
You know, that's the guy that O'Brien's getting all pissy with. Because he's just simply asking, did you consider calling the... No, I understand it's not your job, Bill. No, I understand.
It's not my job.
I understand that you can't throw the flag. I got that. Did you ever consider...
It's not my job.
Calling the timeout so he could do it.
Oh, but it is your job, Bill. Like, really stunning to me. I told you, if I were the owner of that team, I'd be looking at that going, really?
Well, but you know what?
Then what the hell did I hire you for?
You know what's coming in Houston? Because you saw a picture of it up there. Flounder, or you know, here comes
right.
Who's our not Flounder? What's the other? Spalding. There's another, you know, another guy up there. The guy with the mustache, another mustached kid of a billionaire owner who's going to take over that team. And I'm sorry, I don't know what that guy's background is, but if looks are any indication, I know that's not fair of me, but boy, they're in trouble.
Didn't they actually just give O'Brien a 5-year contract?
I don't know.
Yeah, 4-year extension.
I mean, seriously, like you look at it and go, whoa. Like that was it. That was a ground shaking statement. Not my job.
It's not my job.
Wow! Don't you love the guy in your office? Says not my job. Everybody hates that guy. Like seriously, talk about a sure way to get yourself fired. Wow! Not my job.
It's not my job.
Jimmy, pull that audio. Wait, not my job.
It's not my job.
It's great. No, and that's supposed to be one of the good teams this year. Dakota and Braintree and his great landline. Give it to me. Give me good phone, Dakota.
before I get to Dez Bryant, I want to say this. I don't think I've ever been as pleased with the potential of a Patriots defense since the Andre Tippett years, okay?
Wow.
I didn't
a little
see
strong,
any,
Dakota.
No, but listen to me, okay? For once, since then, they actually have a pass rush. They have a lot of dynamic guys up front. And two, did you see any wide receivers running free downfield or across the middle like we have many years?
No busted coverages, that's right.
Because that's because Houston doesn't have any wide receivers.
Well, it's not my job.
Tony, that doesn't make any sense because every team with no receivers, even the New York Jets, would come in here and you'd see people flying around and going, where is the coverage?
It's true.
Well, I don't know if this is a Matt Patricia thing or not, but this defense, and the other thing, Jones, he was hurt for that Super Bowl last year. If they have Jones back there in the defense and not Bottomosi or whatever, Amadosi, whatever it is, they don't give up all these points to Nick Foles because that Jones loss in the playoffs last year and that injury, I think it was in the conference championship or the game before, was big. All right, Dez Bryant, you have him Bedard in tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Okay. Can you ask him if there's any significance as it relates to salary cap availability by waiting a few games into the season before you go and give Dez what you can give him?
No, there's no, I mean, it's just prorated. So, and the big thing is one, Dakota, you'll see guys sign this week because veteran salaries are guaranteed if they're on the week one roster. Once they're on, if they're not on a roster week one, their salary's not guaranteed.
Well, they certainly have more room as they have now waived wide receiver Riley McCarron.
Shocker.
Drop a punt, lose your job.
So wait a minute, though. Then there is relevance, Mike, right? If they had signed him before week one.
Yes, and his salary's guaranteed. But what I'm telling you, it doesn't matter whether it's week two or week five.
Oh, okay, all right.
There's no other, that I can remember.
Gotcha.
Cap space can be maneuvered, as we all know, in a number of different ways.
But,
so.
But not a guaranteed base salary. If you have a guaranteed base salary, you're stuck with that. And so a lot of teams wait until week two to sign guys because they don't, especially a questionable guy like that, they don't want to be on the hook if he flies the coop or whatever. So, yes, but that's a big one.
Riley McCarron, huh? That's shocking.
Yeah, he and Chad Hansen, the guy who used to host To Catch a Predator.
Oh, Hansen, that's the Red Zone host.
That's a guy from the Jets, I think.
Apparently, yeah. Whatever. They waived him, too.
So they waived both of those bums that they picked up last week.
What are you doing here?
Oh, yeah. Not their job.
Final word.
It's not my job.
Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair
Nobody
Tire.
Nobody, Jim.
Best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Nobody.
No one.
All right. We had a bunch to pick from today in the final word, but I ended up choosing just three pieces of audio. We'll start off with this. Maz accurately describing the job done by Texans head coach Bill O'Brien yesterday. Mm-hmm. But Maz's spelling skills, I would expect better from a Tufts alum.
Yep. Bill O'Brien. How often do I have to keep hearing about Bill O'Brien? This guy is so overrated. What, because he's nice to Bedard?
B-O-B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
No, I'm adding an O.
But you didn't. You just said B.O.B.
I know. I was taking some editorial license. All right. B.O.B. boob.
That was intentional?
Sort of.
It goes back to Bill O'Brien because you've got to know that the league are incompetent bobs, right? You've got
boobs.
To know that. You've got to know that the league are full of incompetent boobs.
Boob. Bill O'Brien. B.O.B. boob. Boob O'Brien. Lobotomy before he came into Foxborough. What a knucklehead. So I was thinking, like, if your name was Bob O'Brien, it'd be B-O-O-B, right? B-O-O-B, boob, except it's Bill.
B-O-B. I have no idea what you're talking about.
If a guy's name is Bob O'Brien, the first two letters of Bob are Bo, B-O, and then O'Brien is O-B, boob. So you'd have boob, except it's Bill. So it didn't work. Stupid. Just the bottom line is
it's like you're dipping your toe into like alt comedy. This is like your Mitch Hedberg moment or something.
I don't even know. Now what are you talking about?
I figured you wouldn't.
Just go.
Yeah, Murray, proceed. Actually, before I really make myself
B-O-B,
Boobs.
With the return of football comes the return of one of the great villains to call in the station, specifically the show. That would be Carlton in Tampa.
Carlton.
Ah, Carlton in Tampa. It's been a while, Carlton. What do you got for us today?
What a week one. Catboy and Mike from Woburn should stockpile antidepressants for this season coming up. The galloping pit chicken sucks. Bill O'Brien blows as a head coach. The Patriots can't hang on to fully inflated footballs. And Ryan Fitzpatrick lights up New Orleans.
I knew you'd bring
Jimmy
him up.
Jimmy G, he completes 45% of his passes. He throws three interceptions, including two that were just horrible. He has a QBR of 10, and since he joined the San Francisco 49ers, he now has 8 TDs and 8 interceptions. And Bill O'Brien, he can't teach his team to execute the first play of the season. He saves his timeouts with 42 seconds in the first half, gifting the Patriots another touchdown, and then he doesn't kick a field goal on 4th and 5 with 25 minutes to go in the game. Brutal. And they get 5 possessions after that, and that would have put them within 12 points of the Patriots. And then Ryan Fitzpatrick, 9.5 points underdogs, has a 156 passer rating, a 97 QBR, throws 4 TD passes, including 3 bombs, rushes for a TD bowling over the New Orleans safety, and sets the Tampa Bay point record in their 43-yard history.
Carlton.
Suck on that, Mike and Catboy.
Carlton, how many fumbles did the Patriots have yesterday?
They had 3, but 2 were on offense. Okay. 2 were offensive fumbles.
Okay, good. So you still keeping track of that?
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay, good.
You haven't heard from me in 6 months, but now I have a new attribute. How do you register when I talk about things? Oh, I was so turned on by Fitz magic. Oh, what a wand on Fitz magic.
He'll turn back into a pumpkin. He always does. We've seen this with Fitzpatrick before.
Fitz magic.
Finally, we had an incident of when hosts aren't listening today.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
sorry.
And now, to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
Either they were working in the offseason and it's important to do so, or it's not important. It doesn't matter. You got to pick one. You can't have both.
I just think you've over-dramatized this take.
No, really?
Yeah, it's just you make it sound like they've done nothing in the preseason and in the offseason at all, which is not true.
No, Brady did do stuff this offseason.
Yeah, I know. He was on a boat in Monaco.
No, he was riding a camel in Dubai.
No.
He went to Costa Rica and he had s'mores.
Oh, yeah.
He was the bonbons.
Yeah, he was popping Skittles down there, for crying out loud.
He also rode camels.
He said that one.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you say that?
Yes, I did.
I'm sorry. My fault. I wasn't listening because I admit I wasn't listening because I did hear your previous statement. I am enjoying this take too much to give it up after one game.
This has been How to Tell When the Hosts Aren't Listening.
Very good. Yeah, well done.
Blatant example.
Felger and Maz.